too far future. We are looking at the update of the church website, and I've been talking to Darris, and there's some things that are happening there. I won't go into great detail, but we are going to be taking care of that also. Richard gave me quite a little bit of an update of what's been going on in Russia, and I found it was really interesting. He was out riding on a taxi the one morning. That was a couple weeks ago, I think he said, or a week ago. And fellow started asking him questions and all that. So there, when people ask you questions and that, you're always wondering what they up to. What are they up to? If you've been to Russia, I think you can understand why. But you're kind of a little hesitant about giving information to people, especially you do hear of things that happen out there of kidnappings and all kinds of things that are going on. So as the fellow was talking to him and asking him questions and that, so Richard kind of was a bit evasive and didn't really tell him a lot of things. And he kind of didn't quite tell the truth. After a while, the taxi driver started witnessing to him about the Lord and all that. So they start talking. So Richard starts saying, he starts saying some things. And Richard starts correcting him on a few. So make a long story short, he starts invited him to, why don't you come to our church and see, come on over there and fellowship with us. So Richard said, yes, I'll come down. So he said he was down there yesterday. And he said it was really nice to see. He says, believers in Christ, and he says, and people getting saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues over there. And he explained a few things about spiritual gifts and that, and some people are very interested in these things. Now remember, a lot of information that people get in other third world countries or other countries is usually what they catch on the internet or news media or what they watch on TV or video programs. And a lot of that. So the information they don't get is always quite complete. But they sounded pretty interesting. So he said he's going to go back and see them. And he says, you never know what can happen. They didn't reject what he said. Usually sometimes people, you walk in spiritual gifts. And they kind of shut the door. Well, nice knowing you. And run out the way. So keep that in prayer for a door opening there. And you, like I said, you never know where the Lord opens doors and what he does. And you'd be surprised where things take you. I'll probably be going to Thunder Bay in a couple of weeks. I have to go deal with the church issue. I have to stop in there and see this matter. Hopefully, if you would pray that the Lord would just direct me and what's the best thing to do, then we can take care of it. Other than that, I think that's all the announcements we have this morning. So, I know you're itching to get out of here. You go with Grandma. So, Grandma's going to take you. Yes?
When you go to the church there, can you get the armor stuff, like the knights and stuff?
Oh, my goodness.
I'll see what's there. But I think we took everything out. How long ago was he there? 2 years ago? 2 years ago. He still remembers that. They had that little knight armor and stuff. The kids used to play with that, and they would have the little shield and the sword and the helmet. And, yeah. Well, we won't worry about it because you could pick them up for a very... One thing about kids' toys today, man, you could pick up an awful lot of stuff in yard sales, and in the stores is so cheap. So, but that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. Can you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12? And as you're turning in there, I'm just going to run over and grab a little glass of water. Because I find this place is dry. And also I find that the acoustics in here is very deadening. And it seems like sometimes you have to, when you're speaking, that you forcing your voice to carry. And I think it's because they have the deadening of that, so your other places or other rooms don't catch the sound. But we're coming into the Easter weekend, into the Easter week, and next weekend is Easter. So I was kind of wondering. I didn't get from the Lord what I was going to preach on until about, I think it was, what's today, Sunday, Friday. And sometimes I have to wait. Sometimes I get it right away, and sometimes I just got to, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And eventually he gives it to me. Now, this week we're going to talk about the Passover. For the simple reason, Easter coming, and there's a lot of thoughts in people's minds because you see all the preparation you have. You go to the stores and, man, I've never seen so much being sold about Easter and all the offerings of Easter stuff. It's quite an amazing thing. When we were kids growing up, the only thing you got was Easter bunnies and chocolates and all that, but now they got gift bags and dolls and little all kinds of things, almost like Christmas. You know, like they're really having a great time. But you want to know something? Nothing wrong with giving your kids Easter eggs and chocolates and all those little treats. And, you know, sometimes people only do that once or twice a year, give their kids little gifts. And it's nice to see that. But I want to go into the Easter observance. You find the Passover being mentioned because it is where the Jews celebrate the Passover time. And also, some Christians observe the Passover practice. In the Roman Catholic religion, this is called the time of Lent. And it's about 40 days of Lent to which they come up to the Easter weekend. And this goes on. Now you often wonder, what is this all about? And where does the Passover come from? And what is the Passover? Some people pretty much know what a Passover is, and some really don't and never had a have a clue about it. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 to 47, this is our text for this morning, in which we'll come back and into other verses. It says, now Exodus 12, verse 40 to 47 says this, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. In a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt, this is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry it forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. So the Jews keeping the Passover, they believe, and they understand this is an ordinance of the Lord to which they must keep from generation to generation, and nobody else is actually able to enjoy this or be a part of it. So, when we come into the Easter, we find the celebration or the observance of the Passover. Now, when people get into the Easter thing, it gets to be quite, can be quite shocking. In some countries, people try to, and places even here, when they get into the Lent, people must give up something, sacrifice something, do something, inflict our souls, trying to follow the steps that Jesus suffered when he was taken to be crucified. People have beaten themselves, and I mean with whips and chains, and if you watch some of it in the Philippines, it can get pretty, pretty ugly when people even go to there and they even actually crucify somebody. And they go through this, they voluntarily go to that, they figure it's a great honor to be thrown up on a cross and being crucified. So mainly, they try to recreate the suffering of the Lord to do penance, some of them for forms of contrition, to show the Lord how remorseful they are for their sins and everything else. Now the Bible, as we go in there, we wonder, are we told or are we to honor the Passover? Are we obligated to observe this ordinance in the Bible, seeing that we who are Christians believe the Word of God and believe these things in it? Is there such a thing as an observance of a Passover for you and me to follow? Or is one to inflict his soul or to do sacrifice and penance and contritions and whatever else he must do to show the Lord that he's truly sorry for his sins, especially at Easter time, because, you know, Christ, we come to the crucifixion, and I think there is now, they got the Passion of the Christ on the movie channels, and people will show it, and people come to the door inviting people over to Easter, and somehow in hopes that we'll understand what this whole thing was all about. Is the Passover only for Jews? Or are we also to be observing it? Because it does mention strangers, people bought with money. So, and also we'll notice in the New Testament that Jesus kept the Passover. He observed the Passover. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 14, please keep your fingers in Exodus chapter 12, because I'll come back there so you don't have to go looking for it for too hard. Mark chapter 14, verse 13 to 15, it says this. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. So the Lord did observe, and he did keep the Passover. Now, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, do we think we should follow this or do this? To have the answer whether to observe the Passover or not, we go to the Word of God and find the Lord's mind in the matter and figure it out from there. I always think the Bible is always a good book. It always gives an answer to everything and makes us understand, or causes us to understand, what we should be doing, what we ought not to be doing. So therefore, we are obeying the Lord. Now the Passover was first mentioned when the Lord was taking the children of Israel out from under the hand of Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. This is the first time the Passover was even mentioned or even brought up. You will not find it anywhere in the Bible until Exodus chapter 12. Now the Passover, when people go there, some religious thing. What is a Passover? Well, I looked in the dictionary and I found the definition of it is quite simple. That is when the Passover is when the Lord sent an angel and it passed over the land of Egypt. That's what we call a Passover. What else do you expect it? Something passed over. Something happened. That was the definition of the Passover. And I thought it was pretty amazing. I said, man, this is quite interesting. There's no great magical, mystical thing. It's a Passover, and exactly what it is a Passover. Now, this was a very significant event that took place. And it was something the Lord wanted the children of Israel to observe very, very, very sincerely. And he was very, very specific about it. Remember, when he set up laws and ways, he was very, very definite in what he wanted done for the reason and the purpose of it. Now, the significant thing that happened is that all the firstborn in Egypt were going to be killed. This was going to be a night, and it was going to be the final event, and all the things that Moses had done with Pharaoh and for the people of God to be set free, the children of Israel, this was going to be the final one that they would be set free. This was going to be the final event, the final showdown that Pharaoh would release the children of Israel. So this was a major, colossal thing that was taking place. Now you can just understand all the miracle signs and wonders and the show to Pharaoh, the blood and the frogs and the lice and the flies and everything, the locusts, all these things and all these plagues happening. This was going to be the final one that was going to happen. The night the Lord appointed was when the angel would pass over the land of Egypt with one last final plague. And the plague would be death. And every household would experience it. From the smallest to the greatest. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Is it too noisy for you? Or is it okay? Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Now pay attention to this and you'll see something. Every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood, strike it on the two side posts on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his heads with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So the only way that the angel would know that these people would not be hurt nor destroyed is that there would be blood upon the doorposts of this house. It had to be from the lamb that was sacrificed without blemish, nothing wrong with it, and that would keep it. So when the angel would go over, he would see the blood on the doorpost. He says, no, not this one. And he go there, they don't have any. And then they would die. They would suffer. This Passover was to be a 7-day celebration in which they were to eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Now, unleavened bread is bread that does not have yeast in it. In other words, it's not risen. What we call crackers are very flat bread, and it's quite a thing to see. Now, this was a very serious ordinance. And if you did not do as you were told, it would mean your life. In other words, if they did not follow what the Lord said, what Moses told the children of Israel to do, and somehow they didn't do it right, it could mean their death. Very, very simple. That angel was going to go over the land of Egypt, and everyone that did not follow it was going to die. Now, if we read Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. To 28. It says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, of the 14th day of the month, even ye shall eat unleavened bread until the one and the 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whoso eateth that which is unleavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And ye shall eat nothing leaven in all your habitations. Ye shall eat unleavened bread. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two side posts of the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Then ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. So every time they go into the Passover, they talk about what the Lord did in Egypt. And it was rehearsed in their ears, and from generation to generation, they were told this. Now, this is the reason for the Passover, and this is what the Passover was all about. And they were to celebrate the Feast of the Passover yearly. It was not just once every so many generations or whatever. Every year they were to celebrate this. It was rehearsed in the ears of their children, passed on from generation to generation. It was a night that the Lord showed the Egyptians who were his people, and that he was more than able to protect them and keep them, even to the fact he would put none of these plagues upon his people. It was very, very clear and distinct between the two. Those who were his children and his people, and those who were the Egyptians. And you've seen a very, very clear mark, and they could not miss it. Now, what does this have to do? What is this Passover all about? Well, we understand the Passover was for the wicked and for those who would not and had no part in the things of God. For the Christ rejecter, the Christ hater, this was for them. The account of what took place in the land of Egypt when the Lord brought the children of Israel out by a mighty hand, it was a mighty, mighty, mighty deliverance that was never seen the like of anything ever before. And this is what broke the camel's back, is when Pharaoh seen this, there was a great cry and a great thing that came out from among them, and they finally released the children of Israel. It took that. Pharaoh put up with all those plagues and all that stuff until the final end, and that's what really took it. We read Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 39. It says this, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Everybody experienced it. Verse 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And as they took all everything, they gave them everything to get them out of there. Verse 37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And the mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now, seeing that this event was such a an event of magnitude and greatness, we have to understand that we who have certain events in our lifetime or in our history, we celebrate also. Just like the Jews celebrate the Passover of the great deliverance out of the land of Egypt, we have worthy things to remember and also note. Every year we celebrate D-Day. Every year we celebrate Remembrance Day and the great wars. We have things to commemorate the events. This was the Passover when the Lord severed his people from among those who weren't his people. Jesus observed the Passover, which we've seen, and so did his disciples. Now, you have to think, if Jesus observed the Passover, you might wonder, should I be observing the Passover? Does it have any significance with my walk with Christ? Is it wrong not to observe the Passover, seeing that I am part of God's family now? To fully understand the Passover, one should know what it pictured. Because remember, everything was a type and shadow in the Old Testament. Why do I say that? Because if you don't see that, then you're going to be doing things you ought not to be doing, and you're going to be running around doing things that you're going to find out is totally futile. To fully understand the Passover, you must see the type and the shadow. Because everything is a picture and everything is a type and a shadow of the things that are coming. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us this. Why do I say that? Well, if that's a type and a shadow and a picture of something that is coming, what is coming and what is this a picture of? Hebrews 10, I think it goes verse 1 to 10. He says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Notice it had a shadow of good things to come. Not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, the remembrance again made of sins every year. So every year they had to remember the Passover. Every year they had to remember what it was all about. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So you sacrificing a lamb, a bull, or goat, or anything else is not going to take away your sins. But it was a type and a shadow of a good thing coming. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the same law, by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we also are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Christ is the Passover lamb sacrificed for us. And we know this for the simple reason, the sacrifices of animals do not save us. You see, people try to follow the law and try to uphold the law, figuring that is what's going to save me. There's 10 commandments. You can't keep any one of them. Say, well, I never done 9. Well, the same God that said those 9 also said the one that you didn't do. So therefore, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all, because it's the same God that said all that. So the fulfilling of the law you cannot do. Why do we say this? Well, if we follow the law, we find it to be sin to us, because it's the knowledge of sin. Christ the Passover Lamb, because He is the one, when I come, is done once and it's done for all and it's done forever. We all know this for a fact, the truth, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. When John saw Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, he wasn't talking about some animal that was walking by when he saw Jesus. Because why? Jesus was the Lamb of God. Why? Well, he was without sin. He was without blemish. If I could look at your flesh spiritually, in which I have seen people in a spiritual sense, I find them with blotches and blemishes. In other words, it shows them as unclean and unfit for God. That's what your flesh is. If you have sin, sin is like a blemish. And therefore, you will find yourself like little tiny pimples that get on your face. You wake up one morning, they just seem to sprout out like a flowered garden. They just happen to, especially when you're a teenager, just bang, bang, bang. And you get older, well, you still get some of them. Some people's complexions stay really well, but they do happen. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Because you see, the Passover is of significance if you see it in a spiritual term. Me observing a Passover or doing anything in the Lent or afflicting my soul really is of no value. You know what most Christians love to do? They are the flesh flaunters of the world. They love to flaunt their flesh and flog it and beat it and whatever else they can do with it. But for some reason, we can't get it in our hearts. Our flesh is a curse from God. Our flesh is of no value. So why do you try to take that carcass and try to make something out of it? Well, I'm just trying to perfect myself. Brother, if you had 3 million years, you could never perfect yourself. You'll find yourself failing. You have to do it like Luther. Get on your knees and start going up the steps to the top of the Mount Olives. And eventually, Golgotha, and you eventually get the thing is. And every step you're going to take with your knees, you're going to say a prayer and repent. And you're going to keep on until eventually, maybe when you get to the top, you figure out this is futile. I'll be here forever if I got to repent for every and mention every sin that I've had, every thought and everything else. It just keeps coming on us. John 1 verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Why? Well, we know Christ was without sin. We know Christ came and he was a sacrifice for our sin. But how do we know Christ is the Passover Lamb? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us so. It tells us exactly so. We don't have to figure out. Remember, the new is the Old Testament revealed. What a wonderful thing that we can know what it's all about. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 7. He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." We'll get into that later on. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So Christ is the Passover Lamb. Now, if we look at the Passover in the land of Egypt being a type and shadow of the world, and those who did not have the blood of the sacrificed lamb without spot on the doorpost of their house, the plague would come and destroy them. And I remember when I was first reading there, and I just after I got saved, and I was going through all this stuff, and I said, oh my goodness. And you got into the laws and the ordinances, and I started getting lost in there. What is this all about? But I remember one thing that really struck home when I was reading that about the Passover. Well, the doorposts of the house. Well, kind of goes something like this. Christ is the Lamb. We see that in the Word. His blood is shed for us, and redeemed us from the plague of sin and death. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, it was the death angel that passed over the land. Turn me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and it says this: Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we find that that blood does forgive us his sins, our sins, washes our sins away. Because his blood does cleanse us from all sins, therefore we cannot die. Makes sense. Why? Well, the death angel would pass over, and anybody that didn't have blood died. So those who had blood lived. So the blood of Jesus Christ passes us from death unto life. In other words, it spares us, it saves us. Turn me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Okay. I was just looking for a verse while I was doing this with you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the blood being sprinkled or put on the doorpost of the house, you know, say, what does that mean? Well, it's kind of like this. Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then when you got 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to put your finger in there. Use it like for a bookmark. You got a finger marker. And then go to Romans chapter 10. When you got 2 Corinthians chapter 5, put your thumb or your finger in there. Hold it. Then go to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 9 and 10. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, the doorpost where I opened up to God has got to be my heart. You know, the doorpost is where the doorway is. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And if we will open up to him, he will come in. So I have to open my heart. But the blood has to be shed. In other words, I have to accept him as my Savior, that his blood shed for me redeems me. Therefore, my house, which is a vessel, you know, we have earthen houses, earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please turn in there and you'll see this. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, he says, We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So you have that new life to which resides in this house. This house is going to what? Be protected, because when the death angel passes over and he's flying and he says, I'm just out to kill everybody, he says, oh, I can't kill these people because this person has the blood of Christ and he's saved. Follow it? Okay. Remember, because it's where we believe, the new life is preserved and cannot be touched. Those that did not have the blood of the sacrifice sprinkled upon them were destroyed. Just like it will be at the end. the same type and shadow, but this time it involves the entire world. None shall escape the wrath of God, is what it all comes down to. You see, we have to understand, it being a type and a shadow of the children of Israel being brought out of the land of Egypt, we'll call it the world of sin, only those who had that blood, that sacrifice, upon the doorposts of that house were kept and spared. So when he passed over, he knew which ones that were going to be destroyed and which ones that weren't. Isn't it nice to know that you've been redeemed? Isn't it nice to know you've been saved? Isn't it nice to know that God and the wrath of God will not come upon you, and the plagues that is going to plague this world will not come on you? It's wonderful. The Passover is very, very important, not to be observed in the flesh, but to be done in the spiritual. Because remember, faith in that. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. I want you to see this. It's kind of like going amongst the cattle. Well, how do I know whose cattle is who? Well, these ones who are tagged have a bloodline. And the bloodline is Christ. And every one of them that had belonged to Christ are moved from the others. And the other ones are not. So Revelation chapter 7 verse 1 to 4 says this, "And after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel," which is a picture of the church, because every one of us is sealed with the blood of Christ, Holy Spirit of promise. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says this, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders of the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." You know, destruction came after those who had the seal were saved from the wrath to come. All this is a type and shadow of what is going to come one day. Whether we like to think so or not, we know that one day judgment of God is going to fall upon the world. We live in what? A day of grace. Where God says, you sir, you ma'am, must have a lamb. And you must have a lamb without blemish. And you must sacrifice that lamb. And that lamb you must sprinkle the blood upon the doorposts of your house. Sir, when the angel comes over and death passes by, that you will not die. If not, you suffer the consequences of the plague that's going to hit. And there's not going to be a household upon the face of the earth that will not be hit with it. Unless it has that blood, has that seal, has that mark, has it reserved. So when the angel passes over, is spared. You'll be spared from the terrible things that are coming upon the world. And terrible things are coming. I'm not trying to be some doomsday boy, but it is going to come. When? I don't know. And I just thank God that I got saved, and thank God my eyes are open, and thank God that Christ has redeemed me and I belong to Him. So whenever things take place, I'm going to be spared and taken away from it, and it won't come on me. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 17 to 21. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And they shall show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath that is coming upon all of mankind. When a person says, I am saved, he means I'm saved from that which is coming. See, right now we are in what? A point in time when God says, tonight I am going to pass over. Now, tonight does not mean this night. It means what God says in His grace. He says in one day. To show you is truly one day, a grace, the grace of God, He extended the day like He did with Joshua when the children of Israel went to fight against them in the land of Midian. He extended the day in the vale of Jehoshaphat. So they were able to avenge themselves upon the enemy, so the day was extended. When the Bible talks about the last days, we're talking about a day extension which goes almost 2 days. So we are sitting in a grace period where every one of us have to what? Get right with God. Every one of us has to have that lamb. In other words, so when this final angel, this final plague comes, because this plague is eternal death, eternal damnation. It is something that's going to come and it's going to sweep, and it's never going to happen again. Remember, you had to eat the lamb. Jesus said you have to eat His flesh of the Son of Man. He said you have to partake. You have to have things. And if it's too much for you, you can share it with your neighbors and your friends. This is the wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If this isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing with your friends and your neighbors and to the stranger that was bought, everybody has an opportunity to have Christ. There's nowhere where you will not hear Christ being offered to the world. In other words, come partake of that, because you know what? Tonight is coming, and the night is coming. We don't know. He'll come like a thief in the night, and all of a sudden, it's over, friend. And we don't get back. There's not going to be a second chance. I remember somebody saying to me one time, well, you know, when you die and then Jesus will meet you after death, and they say to you, will you accept me now? Well, anybody have to die is given a second chance. Well, the place where the tree falleth, there it shall lie. In other words, you have opportunity only in this life to accept Christ. There is no second chance. There's no second chance after death. You have one opportunity. You only have one life. Don't blow it. You'll never come back this way again. What you see today, you're going to be gone tomorrow. You'll have a childhood and it is gone. You'll grow in your teenage years, it will be gone. You'll grow into your adult years, it will be gone. You'll grow into your older years, it will be gone. You will never come back to that again. There's no second chance. But you think about how many years of your life you've got. And every one of us have an opportunity somewhere in our lifetime to accept Christ as our Savior. God is very kind. Very kind. And also to show the kindness, He extended His day. Like He's given us every opportunity. The Passover is a wonderful thing that if we see and observe it spiritually. John chapter 6. If you please turn in there. John chapter 6. verse 48 to 58, he says this, I am that bread of life. Oh, my friend, when we offer the lamb and say, would you like a bite? Would you like some flesh? Because if you eat of Christ and you receive Him as your Savior, guess what? You're not going to have that death angel come upon you when the Lord passes over. Because this Passover, you want to be in. People are going around and every year they go there and they celebrate a Passover. You know what? You never have to celebrate Easter, you never have to celebrate Christmas, and you never have to celebrate a Passover, and you will not go to hell. But I tell you one thing, if you reject Christ, when the true Passover and the time comes, you're going to be in deep trouble. Very deep trouble. Verse 49 says, your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. There's people that go to church and they never accept Christ. You know, going to church does not save you. Just the same thing as sitting down there and saying, you know what? I go to church every Sunday. I'm a good Christian. No, you got to walk with Him. Verse 450 says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and that if a man eat thereof, he and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It is unleavened bread. It is bread that does not have yeast in it. It is bread that is not risen. It is not full of sin. It is pure. When you eat that bread, I'll tell you one thing. You won't gain weight. You won't get fat. It won't go moldy. It won't kill you. You ever notice that you take bread with got yeast in it and you put it down? And after a few days, you start little green things start showing up on it? Well, it's fact. I can take a cracker and throw it there and it can sit a long time. It gets stale, but it won't go moldy, will it? You ever notice that? Flat bread doesn't go moldy. Verse 52 says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, old Ponce de Leon, he went looking for the fountain of youth and something to live forever. If he would have known it was Jesus Christ, he would have fell upon his knees and accepted Christ as his Savior and ate the true spiritual meat that would give him that to live forever. You know you're going to be forever young. Oh my goodness, you're going to be the gorgeous thing in heaven. So will you, and you're going to be the most handsomest. I don't know, we're not going to be the male nor female, so we're all going to be good looking, handsome and beautiful. It's going to be wonderful, because you know what? You're never going to grow old. You're going to be forever like that. What a glorious thing to see. Verse 57, and the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And we keep telling people, you have to accept Christ as your Savior. Why? Because He is the Passover that is sacrificed for us. Because there is a night coming. There is the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is darkness. The day of the Lord is wrath. The day of the Lord is thick clouds and not a good time. This is a warning to those who go to church but will not receive nor accept the sacrifice that is offered to them. God makes provision with Christ so it's not hard to have partake in the spiritual Passover. He is the unleavened bread that the children of Israel to eat symbolically. You see some people going down there and they sit down and they have a communion service and they try to put on their holy look. It doesn't make you look any holier, it doesn't make you any holier. Why? Because you're trying to do something in your flesh. He is the unleavened bread that the children of Israel are to eat symbolically. Bread has no yeast in it. The yeast is a picture of sin swollen and corruptible. That's what it pictures. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8 says this: Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Notice it doesn't have that stuff in it. So even today we see the world the same picture as was in the land of Egypt. We are warned of God that eternal death is soon and it will sweep over the world, and we need to heed the warning of God that judgment upon this world is fast approaching, just like that. And he says, my people will come. The rapture will guarantee a surety to you that you will be spared. Because God calls out and he says, come thou my people, enter thou the secret chambers, and I'll hide thee until the indignation be overpassed. It was not nice in the land of Egypt. There was a smell of death and destruction. It was terrible. But people scoff at the messengers. People scoff and think that it will not happen. Just like Pharaoh and them who said, not so, but you know what? We were going to persecute these Christians. We were going to punish these Christians. We're going to do whatever. 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says this: This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, when we have a communion service, it's all about remembering the Lord and remembering all the wonderful things. But our Passover, we're in it. Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's true. Everything seems to keep going on. We live today, we marry, we die, and we just keep going on, and we have this thought that it's just going to keep going like this. There is a day coming that comes to an end. For this five says this: For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And what better way is to have Christ Jesus? What a better way to have that. But you see, in the Passover, this was what it was all about. When the Lord would pass over the land of Egypt. One day the Lord will pass over this world. And when it comes, who will abide? Who will live? Who will be spared? You want to partake of this Passover. But to partake of the one in the natural and the sacrifice of animals and the observance of it will get you nowhere. You know, you can go to church every Sunday and still go to hell. You can have a communion service every Sunday and every month and every twice a year and three times a year and still go to a lost eternity. Next week I'll pick up the rest of this and into the Easter and the wonderful thing about our Lord and our Savior that He did it all for us. Amen. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Heaven.